Welcome to the Christian Life Center Sermon Podcast, where we share Sunday sermon for you to listen during your week.
Anyway, hey, I want to talk to you this morning. I want to open up the Word with you, and I want to talk to you on a subject that I've entitled "What's Next." And you can see my daughter Rachel put together the graphic for me, and I was like, "This is exactly what I wanted," because it's this idea of a lot of times we're at that place, we're at that fork in the road, our bags are packed, we're ready to do something, we're ready to do something incredible for God or whatever that might be, and we get to that place of like, "Okay, what's next? What's the next step for me? What's the next step for us?" And if you've been with me over the last couple of weeks or you've watched online, you know, we've talked a lot about who we're supposed to be as a church and our community-minded and all the things that are supposed to be happening, kind of laying out some vision for us today. And so I just really want to talk to you today about what I've entitled, "What's Next?" What's next? And so before I start today, I need to add a disclaimer to this message. And I want to let you know that I'm not a numerology guy. And some of you are like, "Well, if you don't, what is numerology?" If you don't know what numerology means, it's the study of numbers in the biblical context. And what they do, what some people like to do, is they like to look at the Bible and they look at numbers and they try to attach symbolism to every number that's in the Bible, right? And I think sometimes it can be a bit much. There are definitely some things, though, that do correlate in the Bible when it talks about numbers. But I'm not the guy that's going to just pick every number out, like, you know, and it's like, it gets kind of weird. It gets a little overdone. And I mean, there's some people, maybe somebody in the room that, like, you're one of those people who, like, put 3 teaspoons in your coffee, right? Like, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You know what I mean? Like, and that's how and I just want to say that's not theology, that's OCD, just so you know. Right? They're not the same, right? But let me tell you this morning, there is a unique, undeniable, unquestionable relationship in the Bible between the number 6 and 7. The number 6 and 7 in the scriptures are undeniable, unquestionable, and we just have to talk about it. So first of all, the number 6 is a representation, in the Bible anyway, is a representation of humanity. Because on the 6th day, God created man, and then he created woman, and the number has been forever attached to humanity. And then you have the number 7, and however, its number has always been attached to God. So how do we know that? Because on the 7th day, the Bible says that the Lord ceased from his work. He ceased from his work. And that's why we came to church on the 7th day, because this is what God's doing. This is the day where we pause and we focus on him. So we have 6 and we have 7 representing man and representing God. Also, the number 7 represents completeness. It represents perfection. And how do we know that? Well, how many days are in a week? 7. And if you only had 5 days in a week, well, it would be an incomplete week. Also, 7 is the number when God said, "Let there be light." At the beginning of creation, light entered into the world. But if you know anything about science, you know that the white light that only looks white, that actually within that white light, there are how many spectrums of colors? 7. 7 colors of spectrum. It's complete. So 6 is just one short of 7, which is why 6 is always represented in completeness, right? Almost there. Not quite there. It's like it's just hanging on. 6 is not quite complete. It's almost there. It's almost like Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen just short of the glory of God." We're all created in God's image, so we have God's creativity, we have God's beauty, we have God's wonder, God's the ability to love like God and to have compassion like God, yet we are still so far from God's completeness. We are 6, but not quite 7, right? And I want to tell you, this is encouraging. That's okay. Don't beat yourself like, "Man, pastor, slap me in the face because I'm not a 7. It's okay. You're probably not a 7 because we're not 6. We're almost 7. As followers of Christ, we're like on our way towards 7. And if you put all that meaning together, right, we are between man and God. We are between the desires of the flesh and the desire to want to do what God wants to do and to follow his spirit. We are between our incompleteness and the completion that God is trying to perfect in each and every one of us. So sometimes we look down on ourselves, we're like, for not being complete, we look down on ourselves like, well, you know, how come I'm not perfect? You know, how come I seem to make mistakes? Can I just say to you today, kudos to you. Kudos to you for coming to church when you don't feel like you have it all together. Can I say to you, good on you for reading the Bible when it doesn't always make sense. Can I say kudos to you for worshiping when you don't feel like it sometimes? Can I say good for you for giving when you don't feel like you have it to give? Kudos to you for serving when you don't feel like you have the time or the talent or the giftings to serve. Can I say, hey, good for you for reading books that don't have pictures in it, right? Hey, you're trying. You're trying to get better. You're trying to grow yourself. Kudos to you. I remember, maybe you can too, but I remember when I turned six, like, right, I didn't tell people when after I had turned six, I didn't tell them that I was six. When they asked me how old you are, I'd look them dead in the eyes and I said, I'm six and a half. I'm six and a half, right? When you were a kid too, you weren't six, you were six and three quarters. Six and a quarter. Then even as it got on, you're like, somebody asks you, how old are you? And I'll be seven in a month, right? We don't do that when you get old, right? You don't tell them that anymore. You're like, I'm happy where I am. But that's kind of what happens, right? You're a kid too. And I refuse to be identified from who I was. And I'm just trying to give you guys some verbiage this morning. I'm trying to give you some verbiage to combat the enemy in this world. Whenever he tries to remind you of who you were, whenever he tries to remind you of the old you, when he tries to remind you of the you that was in bondage, when he tries to remind you of the depressed and broken you, you're able to look at the enemy and say, nope, I'm six and a half. I'm six and three quarter, enemy. I'm on my way to seven. I'm six and three quarters. I'm 1 month away. I'm not there yet, but I'm not where I was. I'm not there yet, but I'm not where I was. I'm moving forward. I'm progressing. I'm working to be more like Christ. And that's where we are in life. But there's also this tension in the scriptures that we see between six and seven. And it's found in one particular scripture. We'll look at it together in Exodus chapter 24, verse 15 and verse 18. And it's on the screen for you, but it says, when Moses went up to the mountain, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. And for next verse, for 6 days, the cloud covered the mountain. And on the what day? Say it. Come on, interact with me today. It's good. We're awake. On the seventh day, the Lord called to Moses from within the cloud. Then Moses went into the cloud. Right? He was up there for 6 days, but it wasn't until the seventh day that God called Moses into the cloud. And there is a tension in Moses' life because he's there and it's been 6 days of success. I mean, the glory of the God was there. It was beautiful. It was awesome. It was amazing. You got to also understand that he's seen a lot into his life by day six. He has seen the Red Sea split. He's seen bread fall from heaven. He's had a fire by night and a cloud by day that followed him. He had seen 10 plagues come and beat the Egyptians into submission. And here's my point. It had been really easy for all that he has seen, all that Moses had saw, it had been really easy for Moses to settle at six. Hey, everything's been great. But had he settled at six, he would have not went in on day seven. He would not have went into the presence of God on day seven. Listen, I'm talking to anybody who feels like their best days are behind you, who are looking at the good things back there and saying, you know, it can't get any better. I mean, it was already good way back there. So I might as well just settle. I might just, you know, hold the memories of what was. You know, there was a time when God and I were close. I'll just hold on to that memory. Or maybe I'll just use the memory of this one time when I came to church, or this one time when I was at camp, or this one time when I did this. I'll hold on to that memory, and I'll allow that one instance to sustain my faith. God's been good to me. He's been good to me so far. So there's no way that this life and serving God can get any better. Can I encourage you today? Don't settle. Don't settle. God has more. He has more for you. I'm talking to the one today who would rather have a memory than a reality. You'd rather have a memory than a reality. And hear me, CLC. God is real, and he's still a reality today. He's still a reality today. Some would rather have the memory of what was instead of risking one more day to let God do something incredible. I'd rather have the memory of what was instead of taking a step, say, one more day to let God do something incredible in my life. But that's not how it's going to work, at least not here. We can't live on a memory. We can't live on what God did or what he did back then. God wants us to push forward to the reality of today. The reality that God loves you. The reality of that he wants to use you. The reality of that he has something incredible, incredible for your life. Give him, guys, listen, church, give him a seventh day. Give him a seventh day. God wants to make us, I believe this, God wants to make us a thriving, growing church. I believe that God wants to make you a thriving, spiritually hungry follower of Christ. But he can only do that if you and I are determined to move forward with him. But hear me, there's a tension that's happening, that's taking place here. And if you think that I'm just making up numbers to prove a point, look at Matthew 17, verse 1. It'll be on the screen again. It says, after how many days? 6 days, the seventh day, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and he led them up a high mountain by themselves. Verse 2. There he was, transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Verse 4, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said this, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Now listen, church, you got to understand, now this is not 6 days. They weren't sitting on 6 days of success. They were sitting on 6 days of sorrow, 6 days of struggle. Because hear me this morning, anytime you read the Bible, anytime you see it and you see the word after in the Bible, you ought to go before what happened after so you see what's happening. And if you go back to Matthew chapter 16, 6 days earlier, you realize that Jesus had just told Peter and the rest of the disciples that he was going to die on a cross. That was the plan. Hey guys, guess what's gonna happen? We're gonna do all these amazing things and then I'm gonna die on a cross. So he tells them, and the next thing we see is Matthew 17, 6 days after, 6 days later. It's kind of like, you ever watch that movie and you invest your whole time in it only to find out that the person dies at the end, right? And you're like, this was a waste of my time. Why did I watch this? And the disciples are now having to sit in the sorrow of what will come. And it would have been so easy, right, for Peter and for James and for John to walk away after the hard time. It'd have been easy to walk away and say, you know what? We've seen enough. We're out of here. They could have said, you know what, God? Christ, you've been good. It's been great to hang out with you, but I don't want to see you die. It's been great to hang with you, but I don't want to see you hang on the cross. Had they stopped, but hear me, had they stopped at six, they would never have seen Jesus glorified as the Son of God. Had they stopped at six, they would have missed this amazing experience. Hear me this morning. Yes, if they would have stopped, they would have missed the cross and all the pain that comes with that. Yes, if they would have said, hey, we'll walk away, they would have missed that pain. They would have missed that cross. But you know what? They also would have missed the resurrection. They would also miss the ascension. What I'm trying to tell you today is we can't stop at six. You can't stop at six. God's got something for you. After 6 days of sorrow and crying, God's got something for you. After 6 days of fear and worrying, God's got something for you. After 6 days of struggling financially, God has got something for you. 6 days of relational tension and troubles, God's got something for you. 6 days of a bad health report, God has something for you. John chapter 4 is another example. Jesus meets this woman at a well, and we know that this woman was a Samaritan, which Jesus shouldn't have been interacting with her anyway because Jews and Samaritans don't interact. And Jesus meets her there, and he's trying to convince this woman that he is the life and that he is her hope. So she can stop messing around with all the other people in her life that she's trying to find that hope and fulfillment from. And he's going to give her what the other men in her life could never give her. And so he tells her, hey, go get your husband. And her reply is simply this, I don't have a husband. And Jesus says, you're right when you say that you don't, because you've had five. You've had five. And the man that you're with now is your sixth, and he's not even your husband. And had she given up on men at six, she would have never have met and followed the man of all men, Jesus, the Son of Man, on seven. I'm trying to encourage you guys this morning. Listen, church, we can't throw in the towel. You can't give up on the dreams that God has given you. You can't walk away from God's destiny on your life. I know it's hard. I know it's hard, but you know what? You're so close. We are so close. You are at 6, and if you just push a little bit longer, if you just pray a little bit harder, worship just a little bit more, you're almost at it. You're right there. You're almost to the place where God has called you to be, because 6 comes before 7, and you're almost there. And in case you think I'm still messing up, Joshua 6:14, familiar story. It says this. It says, they, the Israelites, marched around the city of Jericho once and returned to the camp. They did this for how many days? 6 days. Joshua 6:15, on the what day? 7th day, they got up at daybreak and they marched around the city 7 times, except that on that day, they circled the city 7 times. And on the 7th time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, the army shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So everyone charged straight in, and they took the city. This isn't 6 days. I don't know about you. This is 6 days of struggle. I don't know about you, but I would be like, God, why are we doing this? Like, wouldn't on day 4, you'd be like, okay, this is enough of this, right? Like, I can count the number of weeds that have grown up on the wall by now. Like, why are we doing this? Like, after day 3, I'm like, you mean we gotta get up and do that march again today? Like, why do we keep doing this? This isn't a story of success. This is the 6 days of same. And hear me, I believe I'm speaking prophetically in this room today. 6 days they walked around the same wall and nothing happened and nothing changed. Anybody walking around same today? Come on. You feel like nothing is happening for you? You're stuck in 6 days of same. Just everything's the same. You think to yourself, at least by now, my life would have changed. Maybe you think to yourself, everything just seems and feels the same. God, are you ever gonna do something with me? Am I ever gonna change? Is it ever all gonna come together? And we feel like we're stuck in the same place. And if you feel that today, listen to me. It's about navigating the tension. I believe our church is at a crossroads between 6 and 7. I believe that some of you may be in this room and you're at a crossroads between 6 and 7. And we all have a decision to make here today. Nobody leaves this room today without making a decision. And it's the same decision that Moses had to make. And it's the same decision that the disciples have to make. It's the same decision the woman at the well had to make. And it's the same decision the Israelites will make. The simple of this, will you go home or will you go in? Will you go home? Or will you go in? Come on, you've all heard that stage where I'm just going home. You don't like it? Talk to the hand. I'm going home. Bump you. I'm going home. Come on, we've all said it before. You don't like it? I'll take my ball and what? Go home, right? Will you today go home or will you go in? I'm speaking to anybody who's on the edge today that you could go either way. You could break through or you could break down. And here's what I know. I know the right answer for all of us is we all would say, well, go in. That's the right answer. We all want to go in. We all want to advance in the faith. We all want to cultivate our relationship with Jesus. But it's never for lack of desire of wanting to go in that we don't go in. Again, we all want to go in. That's not what's holding us back. It's not the lack of desire. Hear me, sort. It's the overwhelming desire to go home. It's the overwhelming desire to find an easier way. There's an overwhelming desire to simplify the gospel and say, hey, listen, God doesn't require anything of me. God doesn't desire, I'm just gonna go home, to quit, to give up, to not put in the effort. And I wanna speak to you real quickly this morning on going home. And here's the first reason our natural tendency is to go home. It's simply this, we go home when we can't see it. We go home when we can't see it. Moses couldn't see past the cloud. Peter, James, and John couldn't see past the cross. The woman at the well, she couldn't see past her own personal desires and her own personal needs. The Israelites couldn't see any of the cracks that were in the walls of Jericho. When you can't see your situation can get any better, guess what you do? You go home. Or when you can't see that your situation could get any worse, you go home. When you can't see it, you quit, you give up, you throw in the towel. In fact, this is what Proverbs 29, a simple verse, reminds us, and it simply says this: where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. In other words, if you can't see it, you can't move forward. You can't go forward. But I'm here to tell you, you will enter, hear me, you will enter seasons of your life where you cannot see it. You'll enter seasons in your life where you cannot see it. Can I tell you, don't quit. Don't settle. Don't go home, right? But when you cannot see it, can I give you another option? Instead of asking, can I see it? Here's a better question. Can I hear it? Can I hear it? I might not be able to see it, but can I hear it? I'm going to ask my wife, Kim, to help me. She's going to help. We're going to illustrate this morning. But I remember a few years ago, we were at Epcot. You guys maybe heard of Epcot, Disney World. And I remember where we were walking through some village, and I could hear someone right next to us yelling out someone's name. They were looking for somebody that they had lost. And you know how, like, sometimes you hear someone say the name, but then you hear the desperation in someone's voice? And that's what I literally could hear in their voice. And I remember this person screaming out, and this is the name they screamed out: Marco! Listen, it required every fiber in my being to not scream what? Polo. Come on, you're with me. Everything in me wanted to scream Polo, right? But I didn't, because I knew they were in trouble. But y'all remember the game Marco Polo, right? A pool game where somebody says Marco and the other person says Polo, and then Marco tries to catch Polo and Polo tries to run away from Marco, right? So my wife and I, we're going to try to illustrate that game today, all right? So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. Don't cheat. You're a pastor's wife, so don't cheat, all right? And so we'll go like this. All ready? Go.
Marco.
Polo.
Marco.
Polo. Oh, remember the game? It went something like that, right? And here's why I bring it up. Because a lot of the time, that's how we treat our relationship with God. We try to run from him. He's calling us out and we're running away from him. We can't see where we're going. We call out in response to his voice. We step out, right? But when we step out, we fail to step what? In. We fail to step in. We fail to step into the things that he's called us to. And we start wondering, is God just playing games with me? Is God just playing his game? He's just having fun at my expense? So here, let's change it up a little bit, right? We'll illustrate this way. Let's say, I'm going to use this example. Let's say Kim's got a prayer. She has a prayer that she's calling out to God for it. And we'll just give you a hypothetical because this isn't true. But let's just say she's praying and she's wondering if she should switch jobs. And her job would require her to either move to Missoula or Bozeman. I thought you guys were Grizz fans, man. I'm like, gee whiz. I was waiting for this response, like, no, don't go to Bozeman, you know, or something. But maybe she's supposed to go to Bozeman. I love you. I miss you. So, right? And so she's trying to decide, okay, God, I don't know. I got these options. Can I go to Missoula? Do I go to Bozeman? I got to pray for this, right? And so she's going to pray, but she's not going to cry out to Marco. She's going to cry out to Jesus, right? So let's illustrate this way. Close your eyes. Don't cheat.
Jesus.
Missoula.
Jesus.
Okay, that's it. Yes. So what happened, right? So she takes the job in Missoula because that's what she felt like the Lord told her to do. But then she goes to the job and she was supposed to take, and now it's not there anymore. It fell through. What happened, man? She stepped out in faith. She stepped out. She did what she thought God would do. And our normal response is like, and God, you weren't there. Maybe it isn't a job for you, but maybe there's something else in your life that you've been asking God for, and you feel like you've tried to grasp it, or you feel like he's directing you, and then you're like, oh, wait, God didn't show up. God wasn't there all along. When that happens, it's usually one or two things. Here's the first thing I would say. Maybe number one is simply this. Maybe you are somewhere or doing something he didn't call you to do. Maybe it's just as simple as that. Maybe you're just somewhere, you're doing something he didn't call you to do. Maybe when you ask God, you made up your mind already what you want, right? Did you just say, well, I'll ask God anyway, right? I'll do it the right way. You made your request, here's for the teachers in the room, you made your request multiple choice, right? You want God to feel like he was a part of the process, but you really already know what the answer is. You already know what it is that you want. So, and I just want to encourage you, I just believe that God does not deal with multiple choice questions, when you're trying to determine the answer. Maybe our prayer request needs to be one where God gets to fill in the blank, not you. Maybe your request is like, God, I'm not going to fill in the blank. I'm going to let you fill in the blank. You don't get to give God options for your life. How many know that, right? Here's what I want to do, so God, you bless it. What I really want to do, God, is I want to do my own thing, but I'm asking you to bless it. I want to go my own way, but I'm going to ask you to bless it. I want to walk away from this thing and walk away from these commitments, but God, hey, I want you to bless it. And that's not how God works. He doesn't give us options. We have to allow God to fill in the blank. It's God, and I want what you want, not what I want. However, I don't think that's the main reason that we sometimes haven't arrived. Honestly, I think we need to have more faith in the voice of God in your life. More faith in it. That God still speaks and he still directs you. He still leads your life. Maybe the other option is this. Maybe you heard him just right. Maybe Missoula was the right answer for Kim. Maybe you heard him just right. You didn't miss him, right? I just wonder if you got caught playing the wrong game. We think God's playing Marco Polo, but God's not playing Marco Polo. He's playing hot or cold. You remember that game? Right? Where you would hide something, you'd hide a treasure, and then you did. Then the other person didn't know where it is, and you'd go warmer, and they'd move closer. Then if they moved away, you'd go cold, ice cold, Antarctica, you know? And they're trying to find the treasure to get back to where they want to. Remember that game? And I think it works like that. So here's, Kim and I are going to illustrate it this morning. I'll take you, we're going to play a different game. Isn't this fun? So Kim's over here, right? And so we're playing this different game. And so we're going to play hot or cold this morning, right? And Kim and I are going to play it one more time, and she's going to close her eyes. Close your eyes. You don't know where I'm at yet. Cold. Little cold. Warmer. Wait, what are you doing? You're going the wrong direction. Why did you go the wrong direction?
I stopped talking.
What? I mean, isn't that kind of happens? I asked her why she went the wrong direction. She goes, well, you stopped talking. So I just made up my own mind and go my own direction. And go my own way, right? Because she still thinks we're playing Marco Polo. She had the right direction, but she had the wrong expectation. Right direction, wrong expectation. If she would have kept heading to me, the voice that I said, if she would have kept heading to me the way that I sent her, she would have arrived at the promise that I made her. She would arrive there. But because it didn't happen the way she expected it, I wrote it down this way, it'll be on the screen. It's not your direction that needs to change, it's your expectation that needs to be challenged. That needs to be challenged. This is why people in the Bible times, this is why they would walk away, they would desert Jesus, they stopped following him because they thought he was the Messiah. But when he started hanging out with tax collectors, drunkards, prostitutes, and he started talking about dying on a cross, they all left because this isn't what they expected of a Messiah. Messiah should have like a crown, he should look like Alex, and he should have robes, and he should, all these things, right? And so they go, this is not a Messiah, and they begin to walk away. And Jesus is looking at them, and as they're walking away, he's saying, wait, no, you got the right Messiah, you just got the wrong expectation. You just got the wrong expectation. That is why the Israelites, right, they abandoned Moses in the desert, because here's Moses saying, hey, we're going to leave Egypt, and he's talking about this, he called it the promised land. And as soon as they crossed the Red Sea, they stepped into wilderness. They're like, where's the promised land? Wait, you didn't tell me we'd have to live like this. We're in the wilderness. And they said, nope, it's better for us to be in slavery in Egypt than to be in this place. Because the desert is not what I expected. And many times we choose and we decide to follow Jesus, and the desert is not what we expected. And because the expectation is off, we change our direction. We go a different way because our expectation is off. And God's like, no, hey, listen, church. You got the right direction. You just have the wrong expectation. Let me be practical for just a moment. We need to have clear expectations because in a world that we live in, people who follow Jesus aren't popular. People who have values are not popular. People who believe in right or wrong are not popular. People who stand for truth are not popular. We at CLC, we have the right direction, but we need to adjust our expectation. Adjust it. Some of you have grown up in church your whole life, and or you've got this legacy of faith and following God, and you've got these amazing church values, and now you're living in this incredibly difficult and trying times, and you're probably saying to yourself, if you're a Christian, you're probably saying, Lord, why do you give me all these experiences in church? Why do you give me all this passion? I thought at least by now I'd be walking on water, right? By now, I would have everything figured out. By now, you would make everything perfect in order, perfect order of my life, right? And God wants to remind you, no. You've got the right direction. You have the wrong expectation. I didn't have you experience all the things that you've experienced so that you could just stop at 6. I had you experience all these things so that you can move on to 7 and you can be an example of me. You've experienced these things so that I can give you a ministry. I've raised you up to be a healer. I've raised you up to be a worshiper. I've raised you up to be a prayer warrior. Right direction, just change your expectation. Sometimes we say to ourselves, you know, I prayed for someone to be healed and God didn't heal them. And I prayed for, why did God not heal them? Can I just say, maybe you have the wrong expectation. You wanted them healed on earth and God says, I'm healing them in heaven. It's like I'm trying to, maybe God's saying, I'm trying to work on you. Like I'm trying, it's your trust in me that I'm working on. The treasure to God is trying to remind us is not the healing, the treasure is the trusting. Are you trusting me? Maybe you go through things because God is trying to develop your faith. And when we go through those things, sometimes our expectations are off, and so we change our direction. Sometimes we go through rough times and we take our little backpack and we say, well, I'm gonna go a different road because this road is not what I expected. Well, God should have provided everything for me. God should have done everything for me. He should make my life perfect and all those things. And maybe God, the treasure is not so making everything perfect. The treasure is, do you trust him in the midst of all that? Are you going to go in or are you going to go home? You going to go in or are you going to go home? Pastor Brent, you can help me. Sometimes you do the right things and life just seems to get harder. Come on, I think we all can probably at some point identify with that. Sometimes you do the right things and life gets harder. Can I encourage you this morning, when life gets harder, take a step in. And even after you take a step in, when it continues to get harder, can I encourage you, take another step in. When you're doing the right things, I'm doing all the right things and yet life is harder, can I encourage you, take another step in. Take another step in. You may not experience the blessing. You may not experience that breakthrough, right? And we're prone to say, well, if this isn't working, then I'm going to change my direction and I'm going to go a different way. We start to think that God doesn't hear me anymore. We start to think, well, God doesn't love me and God doesn't care for me. I've prayed harder. I've worked harder. I've stepped in and yet nothing. And then we say to ourselves, I must be getting colder, like the game. I must be getting colder because it's getting harder. It must be getting colder because it's getting harder. My mind is wanting to shift. I'm wanting to take a whole different direction because I just feel like I'm getting colder. And hear me this morning. I think God in heaven will look down on you and say, no. You know why it's getting harder? You know why everything is getting harder? It's not because you're getting colder. You know why life's getting harder? It's because you're getting hotter. Because you're stepping in. And you're doing all the right things and you're trying to do the right things. And as you step in, I think God in heaven will look down and say, no. Life's getting harder, not because you're getting colder, but because you're getting hotter. Hear me. You're getting hotter today. You're getting hotter today. Look at me. Don't stop worshiping God. You're getting hotter. Don't stop praying. Don't stop serving God. You're getting hotter. Right? They're getting colder, getting hotter. Don't stop serving. Don't stop being kind. Don't stop being compassionate. You're getting hotter. Don't stop worshiping. Don't stop praying. Don't stop coming to church. Don't stop giving up on relationships because you know what? You're getting hotter. You're getting hotter. It's not a time to change direction. It's not a time to, you're not getting colder. You're getting hotter. In other words, guess what? Even though you don't realize it, you're getting closer to Jesus. You're getting closer to his presence even when you don't realize it. You're getting hotter. Thank you. By the way, you're getting hotter too. Come on. Don't give up. Listen to me, church. Listen, you're getting hotter. You're right at 6. Keep going. You're right at 6.5, one more step. You're right at 6.75, one more worship song, one more prayer. You're almost to 7. Don't stop at 6. Don't go home. Step in, right? Step in. Don't give up. You're right there. Here's the last thing I want to tell you. Some go home because they can't see it. And some of us, we go home when we can't go on. We go home when we can't go on. Anybody in the room, maybe I'm the only one, but anybody in the room know what they're supposed to do, but it's hard to do? You know what you're supposed to do, but it, man, is it hard to do, right? Please don't let me preach to myself. All right, thank you. Appreciate it. Glory. You know you're supposed to come to church, but boy, it's hard to do. You know you're supposed to pray, but boy, sometimes it's just hard to do. You know you're supposed to do and say encouraging things, and you're supposed to be uplifting and all those things, but sometimes it's just hard to do. And we get to that point where you say, I'm just tired. I'm tired. I don't know, maybe I'm the only one, but you ever get there where you're just tired? Faith becomes hard. Listen to what Exodus 3:15 says. For 6 days, work may be done, but the seventh day is Sabbath of complete rest, holy to the Lord. When you get to that place where of no more strength, right? When you're in that place between 6 and 7, the seventh day is coming. The seventh day is coming. That seventh day is Sabbath. That seventh day is complete. It's holy to the Lord. It's coming, right? We all were about to throw. My son came to me one time and he's like, "Hey, Dad, these batteries I have don't work anymore. My controller is not working, and I'm going to throw them away." And I minute I quickly looked. I said, "Whoa! You can't. What are you doing? You can't throw these batteries away." He's like, "Well, they don't work." I said, "No, son. These aren't regular batteries. These are rechargeable batteries. These are rechargeable batteries. Hear me this morning. Can I apply a new destination to your exhaustion? A new destination to your exhaustion. What if your exhaustion is not a signal to go home? What if your exhaustion is not a signal to quit or to throw in the towel? What if your exhaustion is a signal that you need to recharge? That you need to recharge. What if God is telling you, don't quit, don't get frustrated, don't throw in the towel, don't lose the dreams that I've given you, don't give up on them, don't give up on the destiny and the purpose I have for your life? It's not dead. Those things aren't dead. It just needs to be recharged. It just needs to be recharged. We live our lives like batteries, but eventually the batteries are going to run out, and we got to put them in the charger. We got to replug them. You got to plug it in, and you got to plug in to the charger. Don't live your life like a battery. Live your life like a plug. I'm going to plug in to God. I'm going to plug into the things that God has for my life. It's time for some of you in this audience to get plugged in. What has God done for you? What is your place here at CLC? You need to get plugged in. If you have a voice, get plugged in. If you know how to work a tech, get plugged in. If you know how to greet somebody, say, "Hi," you need to get plugged in. Listen, you can't, but here's the other thing my son would do too. I would say, "Hey, well, the batteries need to be charged up," and he would go and put them on the counter. Then he'd come back to me and he'd put them in his Xbox controller and go, "Dad, they don't work." I said, "You put them on the counter." That's not, well, I just, you told me that. I said, "They don't recharge themselves. You got to put them in the charger and you got to plug it in. You got to plug it in." I feel like, listen, I'm trying to speak to someone here today. I wrote it down like this. It'll be on the screen. Is it that you need to unplug from, or is it that you need to plug into? Unplug from, because you can do that too. And do you need to plug in? Because hear me. Be careful. Be careful, church, in an effort to relieve the pressure that you don't accidentally release your purpose. In an attempt to release the pressure in your life, you sometimes release the purpose that God has for you. Be careful. Listen to me. Plug into God's presence. Plug into God's peace, man. Plug into, pause from your activity and say, "God, I'm going to plug into your presence." I'm plugged in. I feel like God said this to me as I was putting this sermon together. I feel like God said, the church today needs to plug into worship. And I was like, "God, listen, how do I tell them that? Like, that's the most basic concept of Christianity. Hey, go plug into worship. peace. Plug into worship. I'm like, my church wants revelation, right? They want the deep things of God, and you're telling me to tell them to plug in to worship. Listen, if you've been here at any time, you know I like to use illustrations. And you know why I use illustrations when I preach? For two reasons. Either the concept that I'm trying to share with you is so complicated that I feel like I need an illustration to explain it. That's one reason. The other reason is simply this. It's the concept is so simple that I need an illustration to display it. Because it's so simple, we can miss the profoundness of the simple. We can miss the profoundness of the temple, of the simple. And I'm gonna tell you something, worship is simple, but it's profound. Worship is simple, but it's profound. And I feel like I begin to look at the charger, right? The plug in the charger, and I feel like the Lord said, look at the charger. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, okay, it's plugged in. What do you want me to see? And it's like, this charger is the greatest example of worship. And I'm like, why? I don't understand it. And I'm like, looking at him, like, look at the plug. And how do I show them that worship is how we recharge? How do I show our church that worship is how we recharge? And I begin to look at the plug and I go, wait, right in the middle of it. I said, oh, wait, there it is. Look at the direction of the plug. How do we worship? How do we simple? Here's the direction of the plug. I worship you. I stand before you and I worship you. I just raise my hands, God, and I surrender my life to you. I raise my hands up. I lay my whole life down and I give it to you. And when I worship you, I plug into you. When I worship you and I lift your name up, I'm recharged. When I worship you and I lift my hands up, my worries and my fears go away because I'm plugged in. I'm plugged into you, God. And when I worship, I plug in. And when I'm plugged in, I hear your voice. When I plug into you, I resist the temptation to go home. But when I plug in and I worship you, guess what I do, Lord? I step into you. And worship makes my fears go away. Worship makes my doubts go away. Worship takes the focus off me and places the focus on Jesus. I plug into you today, Lord, and I worship you. I plug into you today, God, and I worship you. I lift you up. I exalt you today. I plug into you. I raise my whole hands up. I lay my whole life down. Listen, when I worship God, I don't run out of energy. When I worship him, I'm plugged in and I'm recharged and I don't run out of energy. Listen, I don't have to be in a Sunday morning church to raise my hands. I can be in the car. I can be in the shower. I can be at work where I can pause and say, I need to recharge today. And I'm going to worship my God because he has the ability to recharge me from my fears and recharge me from my worries. I'm going to recharge into you today, God, through my worship. Plug in. Listen to me. Don't throw in the towel. Plug into peace, man. Don't throw in the towel. Plug into his presence. Listen, don't throw in the towel. Don't settle. Plug into the purpose that God has for your life. And you know what? It simply starts by just saying, listen, I worship you. I worship you. I worship you. I worship you, God. I believe this. I believe that God is going to give CLC. I wrote this last statement down in my notes. I said this because I just believed it. As I was worshiping, I believe that God is going to give CLC its second wind. It's going to give CLC its second wind. But it's going to happen because you and I just made a conscious decision that we were going to plug into you, Jesus. I'm going to plug into you. I'm going to allow you to recharge me. I'm going to allow my expectations to change, but I'm not going to change my direction. It might get hotter, but it's not because I'm getting colder. It might get harder, but not because I'm getting colder. It's going to get harder because I'm getting hotter. Because I'm going to continue to worship you, and I'm going to continue to lift my hands, and I'm going to continue to praise you in the midst of the storm. I'm going to continue to give and serve even when I don't feel like it. I'm going to continue to seek you because I'm going to allow you to recharge me because I'm not going to be stuck at 6. I'm going towards 7. Yeah, well, it's tough. I'm not there yet. I'm a 6.5. I'm a 6.75, but I'm on my way. I'm going to step in to 7. And the greatest way we do that is when we say, God, I lay my whole life down. I turn to you. Stand with me this morning. Come on, let's worship him today. Let's worship. Pastor Britt's going to lead us. Lord, we worship you today. We plug into you in this room, God. We plug into you this morning. We plug into your presence this morning, God. We plug into you, Lord, this morning. Go ahead, Pastor Britt. We plug into you this morning.
You're worthy of it all. You worthy of it all.
Come on, let's plug into him this morning.
For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Some of you need to plug in this morning. Some of you need to plug into him this morning.
You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Come on, let's plug into him this morning. Let's worship him. Let him recharge you this
You're
morning.
You're worthy of it all.
You need to be recharged this morning. This is your opportunity. It's as simple as you say, God, I worship you.
You're worthy of it all.
Worthy of it all.
For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Worship.
You're worthy of it all.
Plug into you today, Lord.
deserve the glory.
Come on. Can I just encourage you? It's that simple. Come on, if you're here today, I am not the only one who senses the presence of God. God's presence is here. And you know what? You don't need to come to church to feel that. You can do it at your home. You can do it in your car. You can do it at the dinner table. You can do wherever you're at. You can experience the presence of God. All you got to do is plug in. Just plug in. Say, God, recharge me. And it's just as simple as saying, Lord, I want to move from where I'm at. The best way to do it is to plug into you. Not into my own wants and desires, but to plug into you. And allow you to direct me. It's that simple. The presence of God is here. Amen. Bow your heads, close your eyes. I'm going to pray with you real quick. If you're here today, you say, Pastor Heath, man, I need to plug in. I need to plug in. Maybe your expectations are off. Maybe your direction is off. Maybe you're sitting at the fork in the road and you're like, hey, do I go home or do I go in? Which one do I do, home or in? If that's you this morning, and you'd say, hey, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm at that place in my life. I'm at that place in my life. You listen, we're not, it's not an embarrassing thing. We're not calling you for it, but if you're at that place in your life, you just need that prayer. Would you put your hands up, put it down again, real quick? Anybody at all? Thank you. Anyone at all? I'm looking at hands everywhere. Thank you. Thank you. Come on. Lord, recharge us today. Recharge your church. It's time for CLC to grab that second wind that you have for us, Lord. That second wind, Lord. Our best days aren't behind us. Our best days are before us. Help us, Lord, to plug in. Maybe there's people in here room today, they're at that place, they're in that place in their life and in their journey, Lord, where we could go either way. Maybe there's someone in here today said, I've been working hard, but I feel cold. Is it cold? And I'd say, God, you know, God, you remind them to continue to work hard, because as they're working hard, they only get hotter and hotter and hotter. Help us, Lord, Father, to be that group of people who desire that type of life. Not a perfect life, not where everything seems to go together. That's not the expectation. But a life that says, no matter what comes my way, my direction will not change. Help us, Lord, to plug in. For the one in the room today that needs to accept you as their Lord and Savior. God, I pray that you would just encourage them now to say, right where they're standing or sitting, to say, God, come into my life, consume me, forgive me, take over my life, I give it to you. For the ones in here that are weary and tired, God, may we find rest in you today and peace in you simply by plugging in. And I thank you for that today. And so now, Lord, I pray blessings upon your people. May your face shine upon them. Lord, may you prosper us. May you meet every need that we have. God, may we not grow weary in doing good, but may we seek you at every turn. We're a collection of imperfect people serving a perfect God. We're at 6.5, looking forward to 7. Lord, we love you today. We honor you. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to the Christian Life Center Sermon Podcast. To learn more about our church and the ministries we offer, visit our website at missoulachurch.com. Have a great week!